Good morning, church family. It is great to see you here today. I know we've got lots of people that are on the road and traveling this weekend with the long weekend for Labor Day, but we pray for safety for them, and we thank you all for being here this morning to worship with us together. Hopefully on your way in, you were able to grab one of these bulletins, lots of great information that's in there. There's also some QR codes in there that'll take you straight to our church website, where you can find lots more information on all the things that are here. We encourage you guys to be checking out anything we have that's online so that you can kind of get the full details that we're not always able to get into printed versions. So you can always go to grahamstreetchurch.com. We also have our church Facebook page. And then when it comes to things like youth group stuff, you can go to grahamstreetyouth.org and check out things there. A couple of things we want to remind you guys about are some changes that we're finally getting to come back into. This Wednesday night, we will start up our Wednesday night program for all age groups. So I'm not going to go through every single one of what the classes are, but again, you can actually go online and you can check that out. It's in our online bulletin that goes out as well. But we do have classes available for all ages. We will have our meal across the street starting at 5:30. That'll wrap up around 6:15. And then 6:30, everybody will start right here in the auditorium for a short devotional. And then we'll be broken out into our groups there. Going along with that, we will have... if I can find it, one of these things. There we go. Our youth group has our revive time at 6:30 on Wednesday nights, and we'll be across the street in the Family Center. We do have a meal that's separate from that 5:30 meal for our youth group, so if you guys show up at 6:30, we'll have a meal provided for you guys then as well. Great chance during the week to meet up and invite some friends to come and be a part of the activities we have going on then. I want to remind everybody also, on Saturday the 18th, we're having our all-church picnic out at the Hearns Farm. It's going to be at noon on that Saturday. Hamburgers, hot dogs, and lemonade and waters will be provided, but members are asked if you're going to come to bring desserts and also bring some chairs. And here's the big part, it's always fun, there's going to be a pinata for the kids again, so we would love for you guys to come out and to be a part of that on Saturday, September 18th at noon. Please don't forget, if you have updated information for the directory, that you look at that email address. It's inside the bulletin, that little yellow section there. If you would get that emailed in so that we can make any updates that we need to. Want to remind everybody that we do have the nursery available for those that are under 3 years old. If you head out either one of the back doors here, it's the first door on your right as you go down that hallway. So that nursery is available. And also, last week we started back up our children's church program. That's for ages 3, 4, and 5. We will dismiss for that as we get ready to have our time. As we get to the sermon, just before that, we will dismiss after we do the children's offering. So, kids, you will have a chance again to come up and to give your offering. So, parents, if that helps you out to start getting ready with that now, you can. This morning, in the things that we've got going on today, we have a great chance to be together as a family, to be united as one, to worship together. This morning, as we get started, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 26. This day, the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his rules and will obey his voice. And the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession, as he has promised you, and that you are to keep all his commandments, and that he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that he has made, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he has promised. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for bringing us here today. Thank you for being a God that has blessed us richly, for a God who is in control of this world. Father, help us to live by faith, to trust and believe in the things that you have told us, to know that you are God. Father, this morning as we worship together, Father, may our hearts be open to make a joyful noise to you. We thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for the love, the grace, and the mercy that you show to us each day. Father, as we are joined together today to remember the sacrifice that you've made for us, for the unending love that you have for us, Father, we are so grateful. And now we will attempt to offer back some of our thanks in song and in prayer and in praise to you. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
It's good to be with you this morning. Our numbers are down, so y'all going to have to sing out this morning. Join me as we seek to honor God this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife.
joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
These next two songs will help us prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper.
Nearer still, nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me, close to thy breast, shelter me safe. Truly worship as we
Bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we could be here this morning. And as we come to you, my mind races with just so many things that we're thankful for, so many blessings that we have, and they're all because of you. And Lord, we have so much to be rejoice about. When we think about just you and how well you know us and how you created us, Lord. The fact that you know the hairs on our head and you know us better than we ever could know ourselves. And as we prepare ourselves this morning to take the cup and to take the bread and remember what you did for us, we're so thankful, and we pray that we can be more like your Son each and every day. As we take the bread, may we remember him and the things that he did while on this earth. Just thank you so much for that sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray again. We thank you, Lord, for the cup. We thank you for, as terrible as it was, we're so thankful that your Son died for us, the blood that he shed. And Lord, may we be able to connect with each other through your Son and be able to hold each other accountable for our sins. May we lift each other up. May we bring each other to a better place. And full view of you. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to know that your blood saves us. Thank you for that sacrifice. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
All right, it's that time again for a children's church. So we'll want to make sure everybody kind of knows a little bit again of what's going on since last week. We just got this started up again. Are a few changes from way back when we were doing children's church to what we're doing now. If we can get it here. All right, it's for ages 3, 4, and 5. And we're going to have our children's offering here in just a second. We'll have a song playing, and the kids can come on down here. I'll have a little bucket, and you guys can come up here and drop your offering off. And then those that are ages 3, 4, and 5, if you'll head out the back, and then that first staircase as you're going down the hall to go up, and you'll head into the loft, and Nicole's waiting up there for you for your children's church time. And also, don't forget, the nursery is, again, available for those that are under 3, if you need to make use of that as well. So come on up, and you can give your children's offering this morning.
The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. God's word shall never fail, never fail, never fail. God's word shall never fail, no, no, no. Jesus can satisfy, satisfy, satisfy. Jesus can satisfy, yes, yes, yes. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody here this morning. A lot of people on the road. Let's keep them in prayer. We have a lot of visitors with us this morning. We're glad you're here. Glad you can be a part of our church family this morning. This year, the Sunday before 9/11, before the September 11th anniversary, is closer gap because of Labor Day falling later in the week and so forth. Labor Day kind of has a meaning this year that's connected with the 20th anniversary of September 11th. And I think it's important for us to remember that, especially with all the things that we have going on in our country right now and all over the world. The remembrance of what we've been going through with COVID, what's recently happened in Afghanistan, there's a connection. All those things are important to us. And I think we need to not take for granted people that are suffering, people that are going through a difficulty right now, emotionally, physically, and there's a lot that's going on spiritually. So before I begin the sermon this morning, usually my prayer is dealing with us being receptive to God speaking to us as we listen to His Word this morning. I also want to add that, and I hope you'll join me in the spirit of that prayer for the special time that we are. Would you bow with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to live in this great country. We have so much freedom that we often take for granted. We know that all over the world, there are people who are going through difficulty in living their Christian faith. We know that they face opposition from those who are opposed to what Christians stand for. We ask, Father, that you would bless our brothers and sisters all over the world who are trying to live their life in faithfulness to you, and yet they do it with persecution. We ask, Father, this morning for those who are grieving their losses, for those who are dealing with disease and illness. We pray for our loved ones who are going through difficulty right now, whether it be because of COVID or because of their job situation, or whether they are in their own way dealing with anxiety and fear and difficulty. We ask, Father, that you would bless us as we try to be the people that we have been called to be, that we'll not confuse our priorities, that we'll not get conflicted by what the world expects of us and make that a higher priority than what you expect of us. Father, we ask that we would rededicate ourselves, recommit ourselves to living in faithfulness to you, and that be our highest priority. And we ask that as we live in this world that offers so many falsehoods, so many false statements about how we should live our lives, from the very commercials we watch on television to our peer group that often influences us to do things in a way that's not honest and with integrity. We would ask, Father, that we would stand out as a people who will live faithful and true to you. We ask all of this because we believe in God our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And together we say, Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. And this series of lessons, I hope it's not boring you. I hope you haven't said, boy, are we still on that same theme of, you know, let's go back better? Yes, we are. But I think it's important for us to focus on that because I think God is calling us to something. In the history of the church, generation after generation, we have faced trials. We've been in times of difficulty in our history. And in those moments of history where the church has faced the greatest trials, it's been the opportunity for God to show himself as being victorious over the world. That no matter what Satan may be doing in the world, God is doing through his church great things. And it's an opportunity for us. And I pray that we'll not let that opportunity pass us by. That we use what we're going through as an opportunity to not get entangled in all the things that the world's trying to make us think is the most important thing. And we'll focus in on what God's plan is for his people and how we can share that plan with others. So let me just repeat some of the things that we've been talking about so far. We've been saying that principle number 6 of going back better than normal for Ezra and Nehemiah was the idea that when they completed their immediate goal, the goal of rebuilding the temple, the goal of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, when they completed their goal, they celebrated what they did in worship. And they gave God the credit for it. They said, we could not have done what we did had God not made it possible. And they celebrated that in worship to God because God is the one that made it happen. And I suggested that there are 3 parts to their worship when they celebrate in joyful worship. One is joyful celebration, that their worship included joyful celebration. And I said the key to that, of course, was thankfulness. Secondly, we're going to look at reverent submission. They went back to the Word of God and they said, whatever God's Word says that we need to do, we're going to do it. We've not been looking at God's Word in a while. We've been in captivity. We've been under the persecution of enemy nations. We've not been allowed to return to Jerusalem and worship God in the freedom that we want to worship God. And so we need to go back to God's Word and we need to reverently submit to whatever we find that God is telling us to do. And then thirdly, there was loving edification. They realized that if they were going to be on the course that they needed to be on for the future, they needed to, in love, build each other up. Encourage each other to stay faithful to God. Let's don't get back into the sin, and theirs in particular was idolatry, that we got into before. So in our looking last week at the joyful celebration, we said in everything that they did in joyful celebration, there was thankfulness. There was thankfulness for the fact that they've been able to return. There was thankfulness that they were able to rebuild the temple. There was thankfulness that they were able to start rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and complete infrastructure that needed to go into place. They were able to restore the priesthood and the sacrifices and the worship that they had had before. So there's so many things that they were thankful for. And that was behind the joyful celebration that they were involved in. This week, we want to focus our attention on reverent submission. What does it mean to be reverent and to submit yourself to the will of God? And there are 3 parts to this that I want to look at this morning. One is, how do you react to hearing God's word? What happens when you hear God's word? What do you do? How do you react to it? Secondly, restoring what needs to be restored in obedience. When you find out there's something in God's word that you're not doing as you should, or the church should be doing, will you restore it out of obedience to God? And then thirdly, responding from the heart. What do you do? How do you feel when you realize that you're able to go back to God's word and look at it and worship God in the way that you're supposed to? How does that make you feel? What do you do in your heart? So let's look at the scripture this morning from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 9. So you may want to look at it in your translation of the Bible that you're using this morning. This is from the NIV. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. They built a platform for him to stand on. And as he opened God's word, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." And then they bowed down and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. And they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Now, the first thing I want you to notice in this is the way they reacted to the reading of the word of God. Notice their reaction. Let's go back to the part before that I read. Notice when Ezra starts reading the word of God, they all stand up out of respect for it being God's word. They stood up. And Ezra praised God, and the people lifted their hands and they responded, "Amen, amen." I want you to understand that raising your hands can mean different things. What they were doing was raising their hands to God and saying, "We're not saying amen to Ezra. We're saying amen to God. This response is to God." And I think that's important. When I was probably about 16, somewhere along in there, I got to preach once a month on Sunday night at the local black congregation of the Church of Christ in our community. And it was a great honor to be able to preach there on Sunday nights. I would preach Sunday morning, that same Sunday morning, at a little congregation about 30, 35 miles from where I lived. And I would preach there, and then on Sunday night I would preach at the black congregation. I always preached the same sermon on Sunday morning and Sunday night. But it took almost twice as long to preach the sermon on Sunday night. And some of you probably understand that, because it was such an exciting service. And I would say something and they would say, "Amen, amen, preach it, brother." You know, and it was just like, and for a while it kind of startled me. You know, I mean, it took me a little bit to just keep my momentum going. You know, on Sunday morning I had absolute silence as I preached. And nothing interrupted me. Well, except for one time when I was waving my hands, I knocked a vase off of the podium, and I had to stop because a lady came forward and swept the floor, you know, while I was trying to preach. But other than that, I never really had an interruption while I was preaching on Sunday morning. But on Sunday night, boy, it just, and finally I got into the rhythm of it. And actually, I could just keep going, you know, and it worked, you know. But I found that it just gave me more energy and excitement as I preached. Now, I'm not judging here. I think sometimes people are saying amen because they were just caught up in the enthusiasm of saying amen or preach it, brother, or whatever, because people around them were doing that, and that was part of their culture. But I think for the most part, they were doing it because of their love for the Word of God. It wasn't about me. It was about God's Word being preached. And they were excited to hear God's Word. And they were saying amen, not to me, not, you know, you, David, you're so great. They were saying God is great. God's Word is great. Amen to God. That's what the people are doing here. They're raising their hands and they're saying, God, we're saying amen to you. Now, raising of hands has a culture behind it that sometimes we don't understand what people are doing when they raise their hands. One thing that happens in raising your hands is you acknowledge the glory and the greatness of God. So sometimes when you see people raising their hands, they're acknowledging God's greatness and God's glory. And they just want to say how great you are. You're glorious. You're wonderful. Sometimes you see people raising their hands, and it's more of an opening themselves up to God, a response to God saying, I'm here. I want you, God. I want you to pour out yourself into me through your Spirit. I'm open to you. And oftentimes you'll find when people are raising their hands to God, they have more of this open, receptive look in the way that they hold their hands up. When it's God's glory and praise to God and that sort of thing, it's more this way. When they're saying, God, I'm open to you. I want you in my life. I want to have you in my life. Pour yourself into me. It's like you're receiving God in that. Sometimes you find that people will raise their hands and it's almost like they're reaching to hold God's hand. I'm in need, Lord, and I need you. I need your help right now. I reach down and hold my hand. I need you. And oftentimes when someone is raising their hands to God, it's like a child reaching for their father's hand. It bothers me when people judge people for raising their hands. When I ridicule that. And I know that sometimes maybe it's just for show. Sometimes it's whatever it is. I don't know. But what right do we have to judge why someone is raising their hands? I have to tell you that the raising of hands thing is difficult for me. I wasn't raised in that culture, but I was exposed to it, like I was telling you, of being able to be in a congregation for a while on a monthly basis, of being able to worship that with a group of people who felt very comfortable with raising their hands and speaking out and saying amen. So I was at an advantage to some people who had not been exposed to that. And I found myself sometimes in a group of people that weren't familiar with raising of hands and speaking out and so forth. I would find myself raising my hands and then I was kind of like, uh-oh. Because I felt I was distracting people from their worship by raising my hands. I've been at congregations where it is part of the culture of the church to raise their hands. And every once in a while, I find myself having raised my hands, and I think, uh-oh, I probably... And it bothers me that it bothers me. Does that make sense? That I would just naturally express myself in raising my hands and then find myself catching myself and saying, uh-oh, I might be distracting Am I making sense? Huh? It's kind of a shame in a way, isn't it? That we have to even think about it. You know, it's part of our worship. And we all have our cultures. It's one of the glorious things about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was intended to go into all cultures. People have been worshiping in all kinds of different ways. In the Jewish culture, they worshiped the Jewish way. But when it went into the Greek culture, people had been worshiping their gods in the Greek ways and so forth. And there's not really a lot of definition about how to worship. It's more about who you worship. And I'm sure as the Jewish people had to get used to Gentiles coming into their worship, they must have been saying, oh my goodness, why are they doing that? I'm sure there's some Gentiles that thought, what is the problem with these Jewish people and the way they worship? You would think after 2,000 years in this, we would kind of accept that people worship in different ways and be okay with that. But we still, we kind of get caught up in judging how people react when they worship. So the first thing I want you to think about this morning in reverent submission is that when we worship, we need to remember that our reaction is to the Word of God. Here's some verses. You may want to study them more when you get home or later. But I want you to think about what these verses are saying. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 28. Jesus said, narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. He said, you know, when the end comes, not all of you who say unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. He said, for doing the will of God is like building your house upon a rock instead of building it on the sand. Remember that song? Because he who keeps my word is like the man who builds his house on the rock. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We know it for the Great Commission. We forget the first part of it. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go. All authority has been given by the Father to Jesus Christ the Son. He has all authority. What he says goes. It is his rule. He is the king. John 12, verses 48 following, 44 through 50, Jesus said, my words will judge you in the last day. My words are not my words. My words are from him who sent me. And if you reject my words, you reject him who sent me. And my words will judge you in the last day. What Jesus says is what we go by. And when we come to worship, it is Jesus who is in charge. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus sent his apostles out. He said, listen, you're going to receive power from on high and you'll be my witnesses. Over in chapter 1 of Acts, he continues that. Before Jesus ascended to the Father, he said, you will be my witnesses beginning in Jerusalem. People will come to believe in me. He said in Luke 24 that repentance and forgiveness of sins will begin to be preached by you, my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem. And that started in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they became the special witnesses of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak the words of Jesus to the world. And it says in Acts chapter 2 verse 42, when the church started, after 3,000 people were baptized into Christ Jesus, and they continued in the apostles' teaching. When we gather together, it is a reaction to the authority of Jesus in His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. When we come together, we need to have respect for the Word of God. We need to be reacting to the Word of God. We're not saying amen to David. We're saying amen to Jesus. When we lift up our hands, we're honoring King Jesus. When we lift up our hands saying, I need you, Lord, we're saying to the Father, I am just a child and you are my Father and I need you. When we give Him the glory, it is to God, it is to Jesus, it is to the Holy Spirit. When we react, it is out of reverent submission to the Word of God. Whether it's heard in song, or whether it's in prayer, or whether it's in preaching, or whether it's in our communion, we are reacting as we worship to the power and authority of the words of King Jesus. It says that the people, when they heard the Word of God being read, they raised their hands and they say amen, and then they fell with their faces to the ground because they realized they were listening to God. Not Ezra. Not to the Levites. They were reading God's words. Do we come here with the expectation we're going to hear God today? We're going to listen to King Jesus today. How do we react? Secondly, they restored through obedience. When they read the Word of God, Ezra and the Levites started reading all this teaching about the sacrifices they're supposed to keep and all the feasts that they're supposed to attend and all the opportunities that they have to say to God, thank you for what you've done for us, and to deal with their sins and so forth. And all of these things that they're reading, we said, man, we haven't done that in a long time. And who's going to teach us? And there were priests, and there were the priests offered the sacrifices, and we don't even know who our priests are. And so you know what they did? They restored what was missing. What would you do today? What would you do today if I got up before you and I was teaching you from God's Word and you came to the realization that there's something that we're supposed to be doing that we haven't done in a long time? What would you do? Would you take steps to restore that? Or would you rationalize it and say, well, hey, that's not what we do. That's not our tradition. That's not what the Church of Christ does. That's not what the Graham Street Church of Christ does. Would you find yourself talking yourself out of having to do something about it because that's not what you do? Or this might even be more challenging for us. What if you heard me reading God's Word and you say, oh, we're not supposed to do that? That practice that we have in our worship is not what the Word of God says. That's not what it says. We need to stop doing that. Would you stop it? Or would you say, well, no, you know, that's our custom. That's the way we do it. You follow what I'm saying? When these people heard the Word of God, they said, man, we need to restore the priesthood. We need to restore the practices of the priest. Listen, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 said, we are a holy priesthood unto God. We're responsible for how we respond to restoring what God expects the church to be doing. We're the priesthood. And the sacrifices that we offer in this priesthood, according to Romans 12, is ourselves. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice, for this is your holy worship unto God. We are the priesthood, and we are the sacrifices, and we need to restore in our worship this attitude of being a priesthood that is offering ourselves when we worship to God. Will we do that? Will we restore that? And notice they restored the feast, the Passover, the Feast of Booths. They restored it. I mean, immediately they began to say, hey, you know, when the date rolls around for Passover, we're going to be keeping Passover. When the time comes for the Feast of Ingathering or the Feast of Booths, Tabernacles, it goes by all those names, we're going to keep it. We're going to go out here. We're going to build us little lean-tos made of the limbs, branches of trees and so forth. And we're going to be out in the community living for a week out away from our homes in those booths. We're going to do that. We're going to keep that. It's an interesting thing about that. In the Old Testament, the Passover was to remember the deliverance of God from the Egyptian bondage. And the Feast of Booths was to remind them of how God provided for them as they traveled in the wilderness to come to the Promised Land. Do you realize both of those are found in the Lord's Supper? In the Lord's Supper, we remember that we were delivered by blood, like they were in the Passover. By the blood of Jesus, we're delivered not from the bondage of Egypt, but the bondage of sin. And in the Feast of Booths, we're given the provision by God to make it on our journey to the Promised Land by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we're baptized into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins because of what He did at the cross, we're given the Holy Spirit to live within us, to be a sign, a seal for us until we make it to the Promised Land. We remember that when we take the Lord's Supper. Back then, they had a feast of Passover. They had a feast of the Feast of Booths. We have the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and we remember what they were remembering, except in the fulfillment of Christ Jesus. Number three, when we worship in reverent submission, we need to be responding from the heart in repentance. In Ezra chapter 10, at the reading of the law of God, they repented. They confessed their sins, and they made a commitment to not sin again. In Nehemiah 9, after the word of God is read, they listened to the reading of the word of God, and they wept at the reading of the word of God, and they confessed their sins. They repented, and they made a commitment not to sin that sin again. Is that part of our worship? Part of reverent submission in worship is hearing the word of God and realizing that we are sinners and we repent. We confess our sins. We realize that we were wrong and we make a commitment to not do that. But here's an amazing thing. Even then, now, this is before Christ. This is before understanding what this is all about. This is based on their limited knowledge. Even then, they are told, don't weep. Don't cry. This is a holy day. This is a day to rejoice. They needed to weep. They needed to cry over their sins. They needed to repent of their sins. They needed to confess their sins. They're not being told, don't do that. But they're saying, don't keep doing that. Because you're forgiven. This is a day of rejoicing. This is the day of recommitment. This is a time that God is restoring us to where we need to be as His people. And it's good that you're sorry for the sins that you've committed. It's good that you're weeping those tears of regret. It's good that you're repenting of your sins and recommitting yourself to live the way that you should live. But now that you've done it, stop crying and get up and rejoice because you're forgiven. And brothers and sisters, that's what happens when we come to worship. There are times in our worship where we need to realize, I'm still a sinner. I still do things I shouldn't do. I still think thoughts I shouldn't think. I still say things I shouldn't say. I still neglect to do the good things I need to do. But we don't leave here with that regret, with that weeping, with that sorrow. We confess our sins. We repent. We change our direction. We make a commitment to live better. And we leave here rejoicing that we've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. So I ask you this morning, as you think about our worship, are you reacting to Scripture as if you're hearing the voice of God? Do you really have that kind of respect for the Bible? Does it really mean that much to you? Are you cavalier in your approach to hearing Scripture? Secondly, I would ask you, are you restoring a right relationship with God through obedience? Are you listening to His voice and obeying His will? Are you doing what He's wanting you to do? Are you an obedient servant of His? And thirdly, I would ask you, are you responding to God with a heart of repentance? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to put your sin behind you? Confess it to God and say, I've sinned, I was wrong, and put that behind you and live with a recommitment to God to live your life for Him. This morning, if you come to worship with these three things intact, you cannot have bad worship. I don't care how bad the preacher is that morning. I don't care how bad the singing is that morning. I don't care who it is that you think is missing that should be here and is not here. I don't care if you don't like how we do the communion or whatever. If you come with these three things and add in what I mentioned last week about having a thankful heart, how can you have bad worship? Huh? And I would suggest that if we have bad worship, then maybe we need to do these three things, including repenting. How we worship has a whole lot to do with what you bring to the worship. It's not about what happens when you get here. It's about how your heart is when you get here. I would pray that we're courageous enough and honest enough to admit that we need to worship better. The Graham Street Church of Christ needs to worship better. But if you think I mean by that we need to get a better song leader, or we need to get a better preacher, or we need to get a better looking auditorium, or we need to do a better job with our technology, if you're thinking any of that is what I'm talking about, you have completely missed what I'm preaching. We need to worship better, and it needs to start here. needs to start in that heart. We get our hearts right, our worship will be better. Right? It's okay to say amen. We've documented that this morning, okay? Amen? If this morning you need help in doing that, if it's a struggle that you're having that you can't seem to get there by yourself, if it would help for us to pray for you and with you about it, we would love to do that before you go home this morning. Here in a little bit, after we close out this service, there's a man in our crowd this morning that's going to be baptized. I know a lot of you got places to go and everything, but if you could in your heart, just wait for a little bit and join us for baptism, and you'll hear more about that in a little bit. It would mean the world to him. Because he's found out in his life that he hasn't always had his worship right. What would it mean to us if we thought the request I've made of you for him was what God is asking all of us to do for each other every Sunday morning? That we would be here for each other to make our worship better, to help make our hearts right with God. If we can help you with that this morning, let us know before you leave. We'd be glad to help. Let's stand and sing.
Sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Thank you, David. Appreciate everybody being here this morning. We'll have one more song and then we'll have a dismissal prayer. What a song of delight in that city so bright will be wafted neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of
singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, will be heard in that land o'er the foam. Every heart will be light and each face will be bright when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home.
Think about these words from Psalms as we get ready to leave this morning. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that we are a part of your creation, that you have made each precious soul that is here today. You created it from nothing. And our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made because of your creativity. We thank you for that. We pray that each one here has been strengthened and has been encouraged by being here this morning. We love you. We thank you for loving us so much that you were willing to send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And through that blood, each of us is washed clean, and that we can live with you one day. And we look forward to singing before you in heaven, praising you and giving you the honor that you deserve when all of your singers get home to be with you. Be with us this week. Help us to be a light to those around us that are living in a dark world and have no hope. May we be a strength to them, an encouragement to them, and may we help them see the light. Forgive us when we fail. Protect us from the evil one. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
Today, but he is going to be baptized about 12:30 because he has some other people who are coming to join to witness that. So if you're available, if you'd like to come back around 12:30 today, Kent will be baptized then. Thank you and have a good day.